Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to the Big Hunker Podcast. Hunting season getting going.
It's still 95 degrees outside.
Well, just today.
And we need some rain. Ooh. We need lots of rain up here.
We haven't
here.
Talked about that in a while. You left your foot off the gas whenever...
We got a big rain. I was all excited.
Filled up in September.
Would you have ever thought that we would have went from September, 8th to October 12th?
No, it was more than that. It was like the 3rd or 4th.
And no rain.
Well, and it was 40 degrees for the high.
6 weeks, it's gradually gotten hotter, and we ain't had no rain.
Either way, our day's coming.
Yep, it is. In about 5 weeks, we'll start waterfowl season.
This podcast is brought to you by the one and only Stanfield Hunting Outfitters, right here at the Big Honker Lodge
in Knox City, Texas. Holler at us for anything you need. We can take care of any kind of bird hunting that you'd like to do, and we can take care of you on some deer hunts and hog hunts. I got a few trophy deer hunts left available too. So if anyone's a pretty good deal on deer hunting, holler at me, please, at 940-658-3172 or www.stanfieldhunting.com.
Easy enough. This podcast is also brought to you by Gun Dog Outdoors. Keep your Fido safe this hunting season. Make it a thing. Boy, you can't be any louder with that cup, could you? not even if you tried. Gun Dog Outdoors, they got a promo code for you. Big Honker. Save you some money at checkout. I highly recommend getting the Field Trauma Kit. And if you use the promo code TRUMP2020, you can save 20% on the Field Trauma Kit alone. But Big Honker is good for everything else on the site. Put one in your bag. Put one in your truck. Everywhere you go, you should have a field trauma kit. They've also got a quick release system for your dog. Stake that little bastard down. No more breaking. Easy peasy. Also, be looking out on our social media channels. We do a giveaway with them every week. Gun Dog Outdoors. Love them over there. Also, we're brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, that bitch ain't the duck.
That's right.
Trump 2020.
Had me a cup this morning. Actually, I had two cups.
I did, too. Had a nice, healthy shit right afterwards. So that's when you know it's good. It greases the wheels, Jeff. Dirty Duck Coffee.
Ain't no coffee place in the world advertising to make you take a shit.
Listen, it's an important part of the day, and every waterfowler knows it. If you're bound up right before you go on a hunt, my day just is not right. I've got to have a full evacuation. That way I can go on about my day. And Dirty Duck Coffee helps me with that.
What's our promo code?
Trump2020. Save yourself a little bit of cheddar at checkout. Also, we are brought to you by Foul Bandits. Good-looking swag for the field. If you need a hoodie, a shirt, a hat, a trailer decal, you can go to foulbandits.com. Check out everything that they got. Some sweet-looking hoodies. Sweet, sweet-looking hoodies. Decals, they got the works over there. Great people, Mr. Sean Gilkey at Foul Bandits. Can't say enough about them.
And brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries.
Oh, the one and only. The one and only Dive Bomb Industries. I just put in my order with Mr. Asher just a minute ago. The black and whites, I am very fucking excited to use this year. Low visibility days, black and whites will help you be seen from a far, far distance. Much further distance than you would be otherwise. The black and whites help add that contrast, add visibility.
Dive Bomb just makes it so much easier. They're lightweight, durable.
Pack up nice.
They last. It's the way to go. Go with skinnies.
DiveBombIndustries.com, and you can see everything that they got out new for 2020. Also got some floaters coming our way. So and excited about that.
Let's talk about our boys over at Boss Ammo.
Oh, I love it. It only takes one. I love the culture that they have there at Boss. It's an old school type vibe. All made in America. All shipped straight to your door. You're not paying a big markup or anything like that with buying it from the store. I love Boss Shot Shells. I cannot say enough about them and what they do for waterfowlers.
They sell it all. 28 gauge, 410, 16, 12, 20.
The sub-gauge culture is back, brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. And you can go check everything out that they got over at BossShotShells.com. I highly, highly recommend you get on this train early.
And what kind of call are you blowing these days?
We're also brought to you by Pacific Calls. Use the promo code BHP25. You save yourself 25%. That's
crazy.
Right.
25%.
25%. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's that crazy. 25% off of everything. BHP25. I just got my shipment in from them, and I've got the little 206. I've got the 509 call. Got the spec call. Got the new duck call. The PCD, the new duck call, is fucking killer. It is. I love it. It might be the best duck call that I've ever blown. And I've had my lips around a lot, Jeff, if you catch what I'm saying. BHP25, you save yourself 25% off at checkout. If you're in the market for a new duck call, I highly recommend the new PCD. It's the best my lips have ever touched. PacificCustomCalls.com.
And Lucky Duck. Let's talk about Lucky Duck. Ooh. The best blinds on the market.
The 2x4 blind. Spacious.
You boys are hunting the wheat country. Get you some backrest.
I had a guy on the podcast group. What's the best way to hunt a chisel-plowed field? A-frame that motherfucker on the side. That's Don't try to get out there in the middle unless you got dive bomb socks that you can hide out there. But A-frame the side. Use your Lucky Duck 2x4. Put it up on the side on an edge row, fence line, something, and then just edge it. You can't. Your field's probably not that big. We do it out here all the time. Their spinners are great. They all run off of remotes. They got backboards now. I mean, Lucky Duck is a one-stop shop. So
get your dog kennel, everything there.
Everything. It's 5-star crash test rated, Jeff. Didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yes, I did. I was quite aware of it.
It's all over at LuckyDuck.com. Also, we're brought to you by J2 Outdoors, the home of the motherfucking Ice Ripper. Use the promo code BIGHONKER. You save yourself 10% off of that motherfucking Ice Ripper. Hopefully, it's cold enough this year that we're going to need it.
Boy, old man winter gets here. You got your ducks on the last steel. Have the only open water in the county. You're going to be covered up with ducks. It's real simple. It's a $500 investment. Best thing you can do, get J2 Outdoors and get the Ice Ripper.
J2OutdoorsLLC.com, and you can get the one that's got the motor on it. So you pour a little bit of gas in it, let that bitch run, or you can get the one that that you plug in. I'm not telling you your business, so you just go over there and figure out what's best for you. But whatever you do, use the promo code BIGHONKER. That way you can save a little bit of money. J2OutdoorsLLC.com.
Let's go to 14 Cattle Company. They've got a promo right now. Got it posted up on the podcast page. It was 18.
It's an eighth of a beef.
Eighth of a beef.
For $6.
A pound.
A pound, I believe, is what it is, which is a very, very good price. Eighth of a beef, shipped straight to you.
$6 a pound. People jump on this. It's good quality beef. Best steak I have ever had in my life was steaks we did the
Can't
other
even
day.
Get fucking hamburger meat for $6 a pound. So, but if you are in the market for a whole beef, a half a beef, a quarter of a beef, or if you want to get on this eighth of a beef train, they got a Facebook page. They've also got a website, 14cattlecompany.com. You can get whatever you need. It's all natural beef. You don't have to worry about any added shit that, you know, if you're into that sort of thing. So head over, 14cattlecompany.com. Last but not least, we're brought to you by William and Chris Wines down there in High Texas, Texas-made wine. If you're having a nice 14 Cattle Company steak, you need a William Chris Wine bottle of vino. Skeleton Key is my favorite, but they got a little bit of everything for everyone. They sell them at all the high-class supermarkets. Saw it just the other day at Central Market. Where was I?
You were United. United in Abilene.
Market Street is where I was.
Market Street.
They had it. They had it there. Almost took a selfie with Chris, for Chris. You can go to their website, williamandchriswines.com, and they will, I believe they'll ship it to you also. So you don't even have to leave your jammies, and you can get delicious Texas-made wine shipped straight to your door, williamandchriswines.com.
And last but not least, our good friend Logan at the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast.
Him and old Reb do a bourbon review every week. Strongest livers up there in Missouri. Logan's on cloud nine. His Raiders beat the Chiefs.
Yes, and Jeff owes him a signed $100 bill now.
Who'd have ever thought that was going to happen? Good guys over there at the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. It's a lot of fun to listen to. It's a man's man podcast. It's not for the little Antifa bitches, so... If you're in the mood for a good laugh or maybe find out what the next bourbon that you need to purchase is, head over to the Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. Wherever you're listening to this one, tune in. They put on a hell of a show.
It's rated R.
It is rated R. Rated X, actually. So, if
a lot of laughs, have some adult humor, and have a sense of humor. That's what life's about.
But don't listen with your kids. Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. All right, this episode of the podcast, we're joined by Mr. Travis Smith from Washington. He runs the Instagram page Wicked Wings. He puts on hunts for veterans and guys that are in the military and guys that are maybe stationed up in Washington that are away from their hunting stuff. So it's very, very commendable what he does. He shoots a lot of good-looking birds. He's a photographer also, and... he's in a target-rich environment. So go follow him at wicked_wings with a Z, wings with a Z, and take a look at what he's got going on up there. Really is beautiful work. Here he is, Travis Smith.
And welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. I'm Jeff Stanfield.
I'm Andy Shaver.
On the phone with us today from Maple Valley, Washington, Wicked Wings Hunter himself, Mr. Travis Smith. Travis, how are you doing?
How you guys doing?
Doing good, good, good. Beautiful, beautiful day in West Texas.
Oh, boy. It's pretty windy and blustery up here. It's perfect.
What's the temperatures up there?
Right now it's 63.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Pretty windy and overcast. It pissed rain pretty good, I know, the last probably 24 hours. So starting to get a little weather. It's kind of nice, actually.
I'm so jealous of you guys up there. Payne told me the leaves are changing. It's pretty, and it's, man, what a place to live.
Oh, yeah, it was quick, too. It was like, it was hot, sunny, like probably 6 weeks straight, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just changed. It was crazy. It's nice now.
I would sure take that. So now, Travis, you are a, well, I'm trying to think of the word. You do some hunts, but you do a lot of hunts for veterans, for wounded warriors and stuff. And tell us about that. And it's called Wicked Wings, correct?
Yeah. So a program called Wicked Wings. We started it back, started it in 2012. And basically the program, you know, I know there's lots of programs, but what we do is we hook up with vets, you know, all over, mostly the Northwest, but we get some guys that fly from out of state that come in and see us. But essentially, we take guys out, you know. We're pretty fortunate enough to hunt in the places we have and where we go and the time and all. So we started hooking up and taking a bunch of different vets out, you know, just take them out, go out, have a good time, set up, let them get on, you know, get under some birds and get out of a lot of pressured areas. We're pretty fortunate, you know, we have quite a bit of property up here that, you know, that we lease and can manage the birds, and it's, you know, it's good to let those guys get out and bang on some birds and not have to fight somebody 60 yards down the bank from them. So yeah, our goal is, you know, basically to get out guys on quality hunts and have a good time and be safe and, you know, the whole deal, top to bottom.
So how do guys get, how do veterans get a hold of you and take part in all this?
So, I mean, there's a couple of different ways. A lot of it's word of mouth. When we started this back in 2012, it was just kind of an idea, you know, and social media was kind of really starting to kick off then. So now at this point where we do it, a lot of people, it's social media, really. Or guys that have hunted with us before, you know, there's guys that'll be up here for a couple of years that I've met and actually became pretty good friends with. You know, we take them out every year. You should take them out once a year. And then they're like, hey, I got a buddy that's on his way back from deployment, or he's just PCSing here from, you know, Florida or wherever, and he loves to hunt. Can I bring him? Yeah, sure. Come on, let's go. You know, so a lot of it, to be honest with you, is word of mouth and social media. You know, posting pictures, taking guys out, a lot of guys having fun, posting pictures on their social media. And then it's just, you know, hey, where'd you go? Oh, I went with, you know, went with Travis over at Wicked Wings, or, you know, so on and so forth. And then away we go and we hook up, we talk, and, you know, we try to find a field and make times work and get them out. So that's how a lot of it is. There's no real, like, booking service, you know.
Is there a requirement for them?
Well, yeah, active duty, prior service, you know, all that good jazz. You got to be in the military, either a veteran, doesn't matter, combat vet, a DD-214. If you have a DD-214 honorable discharge, you know, like, come on, like, let's go hunt with us. you know, and that's over, and that's just, you know, word of mouth as far as when people are saying, you know, hey, I'm a vet. Okay, you know, no problem. Come on, let's go. So we don't ever really question it. So it's all about getting those guys out.
Have you ever had anybody take advantage of this that wasn't who they said they were?
Oh, yeah. Really? It happens, unfortunately. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had that happen here one time.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I'm not the military police. I'm not the, you know, are you sure you served? Mm-hmm. Like, you tell me you served in the military, like, I mean, I'm going to take your word for it. Like, that's what it is, you know? And of course there's people that, you know, that have unfortunately taken advantage of that, but at the end of the day, you know, I mean, congratulations, you know, you got to shoot geese under false pretenses. If that's what makes you feel better, then, you know, I guess go for it, you know, but we learn our lessons and we go on, and, you know, I'm not going to get like all upset and frustrated. I just know, you know, hey, if you know, this guy calls, he's, you know, he's not a vet, you know, he's not going.
I'm with you on that. I've dealt with that a few times, some little deals, but it's kind of like me giving money to a homeless guy and someone says, well, you know, he's going to just use that for drugs. Well, in my heart, I'm trying to help someone out.
Right.
If they want to do it for something else, that's on them. I'm doing what I'm trying to do what's best. What I think I'm doing something nice to try to help someone. And if they want to take advantage of that, that's on them, not on me. So I get where you're coming from on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I say, if you got to do that to go shoot some birds and like feel better about yourself, like, I mean, I don't know. You're the one's got to sleep at night, not me. I know I helped.
How did you find out later on?
Through like friends of friends. I mean, up here, it's a pretty, you know, just like anywhere, you know, it's a pretty tight knit community, and there's, you know, there's other groups of people up here. And again, social media catches everybody. I swear it does. You know, just, hey, you know, did so-and-so hunt with you? Oh, yeah. Shit, we went out last weekend. How'd you guys do? Oh, I don't know. We shot a 10-man in like an hour and a half. Oh, really? Yeah, we crushed him. Oh, you know he's not in the military? Oh, really? How do you know? Oh, you know, here's this proof or not that proof. And really, you know, like in the beginning when I started this, like it really, you know, it would have probably pissed me off a lot more and I would have been more frustrated. Now I'm like, all right, well, congratulations, like, you shot your birds, let's move on. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't got time. I got other people that, you know, we try to get guys out. No, I'm not, can't cry over spilt milk. It's over. But what are you going to do? Go take the birds back?
you are a real, you are a real low life though, if you try to steal that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I feel like that.
There's just some things you don't, you don't do that. You don't play like you have cancer when you don't. That's another one that gets me, that people have done that.
Yeah, I mean, karma's the son of a bitch. I mean, it's going to suck. It may not get you now, but somehow, some way, it's going to get you. So,
yeah,
I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine that he was bald at 16 years old, and we were at a bar one night in college. We were probably 21 or 22. And he was dancing with this old girl, and he come over laughing. I go, what is he? He goes, I'm going to get laid tonight. I go, are you? He said, hell yeah. I said, from who? He said, that old girl right there. He goes, she thinks I got cancer in 3 months to live. I'm like, seriously? That's what you, I go, that's what you told her? He goes, hell yeah. I was like, boy, you got that to pay for. Huh? He's 53, and so far things have been pretty good for him. So.
No, it hasn't.
Well, no, his life has
been fucked.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't because of that thing, though. It's just because of other things.
Who knows if that's not why?
Hey, you know what? It gets you in mysterious ways.
Well, it's mysteriously bit him in his ass in other ways
that you never thought of. Yeah, this guy's life is fucking. It's a roller coaster. Put it that way. He still lives with his parents.
I think he finally moved out again, but he's been in and out. But he's 53 years old. Listen to this. I'll tell you another real quick. I know this has nothing to do with your story, but when I'm talking about him, him and his wife were having problems. He's divorced from her now. Anyway, they were having problems. Well, he went to a bar to have a drink got off work at 11 o'clock. He worked at a place. He had a shift that he worked at night. Went and had him a drink, and there was this girl at the bar, and they started visiting stuff. It's around midnight and stuff, and she was having trouble with her husband. He's having trouble with his wife, so they end up going out on a county road or somewhere, and he starts feeling bad the next day, and he calls her, and he tells her, he said, listen, I'm going to try to work this out with my wife, so I can't see you again. She goes, yeah. She goes, I felt really bad too, and I need to work with things with my husband. So they part ways. Well, about 2.5 months later, she calls him up, and she's like, I need to talk to you. He goes, I told you, me and my wife are working things out. Please don't bother me no more. She goes, no, I need to talk to you. She goes, I want to talk to you about something. So he says, okay. He said, she goes, meet me at the Walmart parking lot. So he pulls up, and she gets in his car, and she's pregnant.
Yep.
So she tells him, she goes, I'm pregnant and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, how do you know it's mine? She goes, well, I haven't been with my husband. We're not having sex, and I haven't had sex with him in 6 months, and you're the only person I slept with. So he goes, well, what do you want to do? Me and my wife are working everything out where things are going good and stuff. She goes, well, I want to have an abortion, but I want you to go with me. He goes, well, I don't know. She goes, I've got an appointment tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and I want you to go, and I want you to pay for half of it. So he goes home and tells his wife he's got to go to a school for work in Dallas. So he takes this lady, and they go, and she has an abortion, and they come walking out, and they're having an anti-abortion rally that day, and they're on the news.
The fucking news is there. And the best part is they're both wearing their wedding rings.
Yeah, so people are screaming, oh, my God, y'all are married.
Y'all are married, and y'all are having an abortion.
Get their tags to their car, and these people are getting the tags to his car and shit. And he goes, my neighbors, they've got kids that live in Dallas, and I was afraid they'd see me, so I wouldn't let my wife talk to my neighbors for about 2 months. If I'd see her outside, I'd make her come in the house.
Oh, shit.
Karma. Karma. But it gets you.
That's karma. So,
that's that
I mean,
cancer
those,
coming back.
Were those geese worth it or not?
Was that lay at 16 worth it or not?
I don't know that he even got laid that night, but that's what he told her. He told her he had 3 months to live. He had cancer. I couldn't believe it. I thought, of all things to lie to a girl about, so I don't understand lying about, you know, a service and to go do a free hunt, and I don't understand lying about having cancer. But, you know, you hear about people that do cancer. We had a lady one time out here that lied about her daughter had cancer. She had cancer. She even shaved her head and stuff.
Tried to go to Disney World, didn't she?
Yeah, and I just don't – that's bad juju on you.
Yeah, I'm good. No, thanks. I'm good.
All right. I want to talk about something else. Is that you're an extremely gifted photographer? Now,
I wouldn't go that far. I just take pictures.
You're very good at it. And I look at your pictures on Instagram all the time. And what amazes me is not just your pictures, but the quality of game that you get to take pictures of. You must live in a fucking zoo. Because you have more hybrid Eurasian widgeons, blonde mallards than anybody I know of.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, over the last couple of years, things have kind of, the blondes are weird. So up until last year, no bullshit, I'd never seen a blonde in my entire life. I seen pictures of them, people had shot them, so on and so forth. I don't know what it was last year, but we ended up finding, we found two last year. I killed one of them. So I ended up getting that one. The second one we tried to set up on, and she just never, we got short sheeted a couple times on her, and then she disappeared, and then the season was over. And then this year I found one a couple days ago. I sent you that picture.
Yes.
And I don't understand. I don't know why or who or why all of a sudden we're seeing these things here. But they're pretty rad. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, they're pretty neat. And you know, when you do find them and you see them, it's fun to be able to try to take pictures and stuff. Obviously, I mean, I want to kill it. I mean, it's awesome looking. You know, it's out of the normal. It's different. It's strange. It's not your normal hen mallard. It is, but it's not. You know, it's got the leucistic tendencies with the colors and all that, and they're just rad. It's just different, you know. And of course, you know, we got a pretty tight knit group of guys up here that, you know, we kind of rotate through, and you know, somebody finds it and it's their bird, you know. But they miss, it's, you know, it's free game. So, And the same thing, like, with the Euros up here, too. Like, we have been... I wanted to shoot a Euro for a long time. I shot one a couple years ago, and it was pure luck. 100% pure luck. Had no idea we were there. We had no idea it was there. And saw it. It hit the sun right, and it stuck out like a sore thumb. And we ended up killing it. And these last couple years, I don't know what it is. It's like Europe's here, because out of every... I feel like every maybe 1,000 widgeon, 1,500 widgeon, you're finding a Euro, like, hands down, full-blown, matured out, full redhead, gray body, like a wall hanger Euro. And every year it's more and more and more of them. So I don't know what's going on or what's moving, but we're getting pretty lucky to see some pretty neat birds up here. And, you know, and to be able to kill them is even funner, you know.
It would be interesting to get to the bottom of whatever is going on with the if you are seeing just a ton more Euros and blondes. It'd be interesting to get to the bottom of that.
Does anybody ever? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I don't even, you know, when I talk to, I'm pretty close with some of the biologists up here, and we talk, you know, quite often, and I've talked to them before. I'm like, what's the deal? They're like, I don't know, like, luck of the draw? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what to tell you. And I'm like, well, we're going to keep finding them. So,
well, how often do you see Euro widgeons?
So it depends. So, like, this year, it has been pissing rain off and on for probably the last 10 days. So widgeon, I mean, sheet water, any sheet water with the grass, I mean, up here, it's like, it's insane. Like, they are all over it. So now with the rain showed up earlier this year, now we're starting to see widgeon. But normally we won't see big flocks of widgeon down here where I'm at probably end of November, into December, when we start getting real nasty weather. And then all of a sudden they just get here and there's a bunch that hang up here. So... and then we'll have them all the way through probably the end of February, early March, until things, like, start going back north and getting out of here.
I mean, do you see a European widgeon every day when you're in these big groups of widgeons?
No, not a different one. We probably see the same one. Like, I don't go out. Like, if I've got four fields I'm watching, I won't see one in every field. I'll see one maybe in field one, and then those birds will hop around, but I won't see a different one every day. Usually when I scout, we will see the same, we'll follow that same group of birds, and they will hop around, and we'll hunt them in one field, and then they'll hop to somebody else's field. They'll hunt them, and then they'll come back to another one of our fields, and we'll hunt them. So we'll chase that group around for a while. Usually, when the widgeon get here, if you see 10 Euros in that group, you'll see those same 10 Euros all year until either A, they get shot, or B, they push out somewhere else. Like, they might just keep going south, and they might push back north up where the big, big, big wads of widgeon are. We won't see new ones every day. It's the same ones.
Do they stay together in a flock together, or are they mingled up through the flocks?
No, they're all mingled up. Yeah, you got to... You know, like lawnmowers, I mean, you guys shoot the widgeon down there in the wheat. I mean, if you watch them, you watch them, that they're like lawnmowers. They stay down, and you got to really, like, pay attention to them and watch them. And then they're all mingled in. They're never, like, there's never just, like, 10 Euros.
So it's not a separate flock. It's not a separate flock. No. That's what I was meaning.
No. Oh, yeah. No. They're all mixed in. If there's, they're all intermingled. There's no difference.
It's just a mutation, isn't it?
No, it's a separate species.
No, it's a separate species, yeah. So, like, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I was hunting up north, and the biologists up there, we were hunting brant, and we were talking to them, and we're all like, you know, I had never seen them up until about 6 or 7 years ago, like, me personally, but I didn't go north a lot, and we weren't getting a lot of widgeon down here, so things have changed over the last 6 or 7 years. But I, you know, we had asked, I'm like, well, you know, what's the deal with these Euros? And he's like, oh, well, like, the, you know, they're pretty rare, but we're starting to see more. And we're all like, well, how many? And he goes, I don't even know, but they're starting to, you know, they're starting to push through and they're starting to get mingled in with these, American widgeon. And he's like, they're there. And he goes, we're starting to see more and more every year. So, and then ever since then, like every time, every year we see more and we see more and we see more, and they're just starting to add up. And, you know, that's a big bucket list bird for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh,
obviously just because they're not common, but I tell you what, you find a wad of widgeon up here, if you sit there and watch them, the chances of you probably seeing a euro, I mean, it's not terrible. You probably got a pretty good chance of finding one, or maybe an immature one. And they're there. They're in there.
I guess that's a bird that's real prevalent in Russia.
Yeah. I was told that too. That's what I guess I understand, is that they think that that's how a bunch of those got over here, is coming through. Because, you know, we get a lot of those snows over here. Most of our snows come from Russia, that Wrangel Island area. And that's what I would think. That's what the biologist, when I was talking to him, he's like, maybe that's how they're coming here, because they're definitely not coming the other way.
Yeah, because we kill some specks here that will come from Russia too.
Yeah, that's most of our snows up here are Wrangel Island birds. They come, obviously there's a bunch that come in from Alaska and stuff like that, but most of our snows here, like a lot of people chase the red collars, and that's all Russia birds. And I was talking to a guy the other day, one of the farmers that we hunt with, and he said the same thing. He shot a banded snow a couple years ago, had no collar, just a band. And he's like, I couldn't even pronounce the name. It all said was Russia. I'm like, oh, well, I'm like, shit, you're pretty lucky. A lot of people want to kill those Russian snows just because who has a band from Russia?
So there's a guy shot a speckle belly down here one time that had a band in Russia. It was a Russian band. But so the red neck collared snows that y'all kill will be Russian banded birds.
That's going to be a Wrangel Island.
Are they banded by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, or is there a separate agency in Russia that's doing it too?
No, I think it's a co-op deal. I think what's happening is that they're U.S. Fish and Wildlife banned, and it's a USGS certificate. But there's probably biologists over there, or there's a co-op, you know, that we as like probably U.S. Fish and Wildlife work with them, because the birds, I guess they would consider to be transcontinental. They go back and forth, and they probably send them a bunch of bands. They probably send them, and then what they do is band them and then give them the certificate. Say, hey, we did bands, you know, 1100 through 1200. They're all on snows. Here's the numbers. And then they just, you know, enter in the info. Here's the bander, but it's a U.S. band. So,
the storm widgeon, do y'all see a lot of those?
Yeah, and you know, and we see a lot of them. I don't see very many like pure white with no fleck. Those are pretty hard to come by. We see a lot that have got, you know, white head, but they're still a little speckled. But you can tell it's not the normal.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, they're kind of, you know, they're just like the Euros. They're here. You're gonna find, you know, one out of every maybe 700 to 1,000 of them. And a lot of times you'll go out there, I'll watch birds for 2 or 3 days, and every day I'll go out there, I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't even see that guy yesterday. Because I'll go out and I'll take a bunch of pictures. I'll sit on a group, like I was just doing it this morning. I was sitting on a group of little geese down here. There's probably 2,000 birds. I sat there, I didn't see anything like that stuck out, you know. We're getting ready to hunt Saturday, so I'm out scouting, watching birds. I didn't see anything that stuck out, like nothing that caught my eye. So then I'll go home and I'll go through my pictures and I'll be like, oh shit, like this one's got a huge white throat patch. Okay, well, we should pay attention for this one. So then I'll come watch them again tomorrow, and then I'll look for that white throat patch. And then, you know, then you just kind of start picking the flock apart. You'll sit there 2 or 3 hours, maybe a little longer, and just watch them and see what they do and learn from them, and then find the one that's cool. That, you know, if you're looking for a wall mounter, then you got to be patient and wait, and there it is. You know, you get the opportunity, don't miss. You get one shot, somebody else is going to shoot it.
That's right. We've got a 100% pure storm widgeon here. As pretty a one as I've ever seen anywhere. Solid white head.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that's, Because I see these pictures on the internet. They say, oh, look, it's storm wedge. And I'm thinking, it's not really. This one here is legit solid. Look like a damn bald eagle head almost.
Right. Yeah. I've seen a couple people up here that have posted pictures of them. And I'm like, good grief. I'm like, where in the hell did you find that thing? And it is, you know, it might have a speck or a couple, you know, specks or spots of black in its head. But other than that, it's white, and I'm like, good, like, how, wow, man, I'm jealous.
Now, that is a genetic mutation, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Color phase and mutation.
Yep. Yeah, it's just a color phase. So, I mean, they're neat. Widgeon are probably my, they're the neatest, most unique bird to shoot. I mean, there's all different colors, and they're awesome.
Yeah, they're
do they give it up easy up there like they do down here?
Oh, man, you can shoot widgeon over Ziploc bags if you're in a flooded grass field.
Yeah, but when they
it
come in.
It don't matter. I mean, yeah, they do it. There's no, like, there's no hesitation. It's coming.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to guys that have never done it before. Like, in the wheat country, if you're on a widgeon feed, like, it's pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hunting still, but it's pretty damn close to automatic.
I mean, I mean, those have been lifesavers for us. Like, if I've got guys with us. You know, and we're all like, oh, well, like, they were in here yesterday, like, there was, you know, a couple thousand birds in here, like, they're here, and we don't see shit, and then all of a sudden an eagle will fly over down the road or another field, and all of a sudden you kick them up, and we're like, all right, well, you better put shells in your pocket, because here they come, and it's, I mean, over the fence and down they come, and, you know, it's pretty amazing to watch. I love it when they do it, it's awesome.
I remember one of the last widgeon hunts that I went on. I mean, it's just, like you said, just, now this one, I mean, it was from fucking shooting time until we were done. It was just constant. We'd shoot at a flock, and then there'd be another one, and then they'd kind of go away, and then about 10 minutes later, they'd all come back and then do it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a big merry-go-round. You know, and people, you know, like, that's the cool thing is it's like widgeon are like day makers for us up here, and they probably are for you guys too. You know, as we don't take out a lot of vets. I don't take hundreds of vets a year. I don't do it. It's between me and another buddy of mine, Joe, that takes them out. And, you know, we talk probably no less than 20 times a day. Starting from September till the end of season, it's somebody's scouting, somebody's driving, somebody's doing something. And that's the cool part, you know, is a lot of these guys, you know, we'll take out vets two or three on a hunt. And they're, you know, they're used to shooting buffleheads, you know, flying by.
Mm-hmm.
And then now all of a sudden, you know, they don't know what to expect. You know, they get the phone call. You're like, hey, I got room. They're like, all right, well. And then I started asking people, like, hey, what kind of shells, like, what size of shells are you bringing? Oh, I'm shooting 3.5-inch triple B. And I'm like, don't bring those. Like, no, like, you're shooting them at 10 yards. Like, oh, really? Oh, man, I'm used to shooting them at 40 or going by. Or I'm like, no, like, we'll give you shells or whatnot. And they get pumped, you know, and it's a game changer for them, you know, God bless the widgeon because they change a lot of people's minds real quick.
God love them.
Yeah.
The other one that you've got that I'm really jealous of are those Aleutian birds.
Oh, yeah, the little geese. Yeah, they're coming up here.
With that thick band around their neck. Those are pretty birds.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, I was literally, before you called, I had literally just gotten back in my truck. I was out. Sitting on there's a couple thousand in this grass field down here that we're going to hunt. And I'm sitting on the edge watching, and the way the wind is, they were coming in, taking a bunch of pictures. And I actually thought one had, I was like, wow, that's a weird white one. And I looked, I'll have to send you a picture, but it's probably 3.5-4-inch tall white band, like
really?
White neck collar that starts to go up its throat. And it's got a white eyebrow between its eyes.
Oh shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one, that, you know, those are the ones, those are the fun ones, you know. But, again, gotta have patience. You gotta wait. You know, they're not always in the group of, they're not always the singles that come in or the group of five, and they always, for some reason, they're smart. They hide well.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now on your Instagram, and I mean, it's just big, thick neck collar band or big, thick white patch around its neck, and
oh yeah,
and hell, there's one behind it that's just as pretty, probably.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, the cool, we get some pretty neat ones up here. You get a lot, like with the bronze chest, mm-hmm. that's all like a dark bronze chest. You know, when you get into like the cacklers, and you'll get some of them that are super bronzed up, and they'll still have the ring as it being a cackler. It's just a stud bird, you know, it's just a badass. It's super bronzed, you know, into like a nice dark chest, and then you'll get like a white ring or you'll get some white fleckings on its head. And they're just, you know, those are studs. Those are awesome. I love watching when people shoot them and they get so pumped. I mean, it's, you know, it's unbelievable. We had last year, I'll never forget this story. We had a guy last year, we had a feed that we got on, and the birds were kind of corking us because they were punching into this field, and I finally got some permission on this field. And anyway, we got in there, and it was a mess. Like, I think we ended up running 10 guys through it. I had six guys first thing in the morning. We ran all those vets through, and the birds were still pouring in, and I'm like, who's your buddies? Like, do you have friends that can come hunt? And they're all like, really? And I'm like, I don't care. Call them and tell them to get down here. Don't even bring a gun. I don't care. Like, just show up, come shoot these birds. So sure enough, they did. We ended up shooting, and I had some guys come down. Like, they left base. Like, they're all like, okay, I'm on the way. Like, here I come. Like, I'll be there in 45 minutes. Drop me a pen. So they're on the way. Anyway, they come out there, and we get through the whole deal, and we were finishing up. We had these last four guys, and there's one guy left that we had to shoot one bird. A four pack comes in. I'm like, all right, whatever bird, I don't care. Pick one and shoot. Nobody else is shooting. So if you miss, we're going to laugh. If you hit it, it'll be awesome. He's like, oh man, I'm nervous. And sure enough, the four pack comes in. I call the shot. He stands up, dumps a bird. Dog goes out, comes back. Sure shit, 12-year-old banded cackler. Huge bronze chest. I'm like, he's like, I've never shot a band. That kid was shaking. Like, it was awesome. The kid was so pumped. And he's like, I've never shot a band. Like, he's like, I don't even know what to do. Like, what is this? And he's like, I've heard about them. I didn't even know they existed. It was pretty rad. You know, I mean, the guy was pumped. So
that's what you live for.
It's fun, man.
Pass, you know, share, that's what you want. I mean, something where you can pass it on, like that memory will live forever.
Let me ask you this. We was talking about the blonde mallard earlier. Everybody has a blonde hen. Does everybody ever shoot a blonde drake?
You know, I've never shot one. I've seen some weird looking ones, but I honestly think it's a mallard that got in with somebody's farm duck, mm-hmm. and just made a mess, and now it can fly. You'll get weird ones that won't have brown on the chest, or they won't have, like, they'll be all silver to a straight green head with no white ring.
I've seen every kind of color mutation on a mallard, because they'll fuck anything. But everybody has the blonde mallards, the hens, but I've never seen a blonde drake. I seen an albino drake, which was badass looking.
It might not be a mutation that happens
just
in
males. Men. That's what I'm wondering, if it's just a female mutation.
Well, you know, it could be. We had. I call her a Caitlyn Jenner mallard. Mm-hmm. I've been chasing her for 3 years, and she goes to the same spot every year, and she's like a Houdini with wings. I see her all the time when I'm not hunting, and I know where she goes. I know where she sits, and she's just a pain in my ass. But she's weird, because I found her 3 years ago. She looks identical to a Drake Mallard, except in her green head, she's got a big patch of brown that goes from her bill to the back of her head under her eye, and she has a hen bill. It's not a Drake bill, but she looks like a Drake Mallard.
Mm-hmm. We've got one like that on the wall.
What the hell is that thing? Yeah, so I sent that over to my, actually I sent it to my taxidermist, and I'm like, okay, what is it? Like, is it a hen or a drake? And he goes, oh, that's an old hen that is starting to get testosterone and starting to turn into a drake. I'm like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, that's a good-looking one. He's like, kill that one. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying. I've been trying. she's still flying.
So for 3 years, you fucking approach this like a big game hunter. You stalk them out and figure out where they're going to.
Oh, yeah. You got to. You got to. You always. They're always 10 steps ahead of you. I got to try to get in somewhere.
So she for 3 years, you saw her. Now, would you see her mm-hmm. for certain periods of a time, like for 2 weeks, and then she'd be gone? She migrated?
Nope. All year. Nope. All year. She comes here and stays here.
Ooh. So she's just, every year she's just taunting you.
She sits in a corner. Yep. She sits in a corner. The problem is where she sits is it's like, I mean, you're up against the road. Like, is your hunting license worth it or not?
Right.
Like that sort of deal. Oh, here it is. Yeah, it is pretty amazing actually here. But she sits in the same spot every year. Never changes.
And you've got her on camera, but not ever with a gun.
Nope. I just sent you a picture of her. I sent it through the gram. There's that storm right there.
Here it is right here.
Did you see that storm I just posted?
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that storm is intense. I'd lose my mind over that thing.
Now, that's not a, That's not.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I'll,
So.
Are you, you're in the podcast group, aren't you?
That is
on what, on Facebook?
Yes.
Oh, I don't deal with political book. I'm out.
No political book? I was going to see how,
no.
I'll just use this on whenever I promote the podcast.
So that is
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is. Let me see that again now. That's a transgender duck, or is what that is?
I don't. It's a hen
with testosterone.
So from what I understand, I'm not a biologist. I just ask questions. That is a hen. That is just an old hen that is basically starting to get testosterone and starting to turn into a drake, but she's still keeping her hen, like her hen bill. Obviously that's not going to fall off and grow a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's got some the brown in the face like a hen, and then it goes down the body and there's a couple like hen feathers and flecking in the side, but that's a hen.
Looks more like a drake going over to the hen side.
Mm-hmm.
It's predominant.
Yeah.
That's a cool duck.
Right.
What's the guy's name that you know that you send stuff to, Andy?
Oh, Ben Page.
Not Ben Page.
What's his name? Ben Pierce.
Yeah, Ben Pierce.
There's too many fucking BPs and Bows and Pierces and Bens.
That's a pretty duck. I've seen one like that before somewhere. Not in person, but I've seen pictures of another duck. That's a good looking duck. I always thought that was a different species because I've seen that before. I thought it maybe was something out of Europe or something. But so he said that's a testosterone.
Hen.
That's a lot of fucking mallard drake colors. The feet are orange and everything. I don't know about that. I mean, I damn sure ain't no biologist. I see that. That's what I.
Yeah,
but I don't.
I either way, I'm shooting it. I want to shoot it real bad. Like,
I just can't imagine an increase in testosterone making them completely morph over to a male.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I damn sure don't know. But that is a trophy and a half, though. That's for damn sure.
If you can ever pull the trigger on it, don't fucking miss.
I've tried. I'm waiting. She'll be back. I ain't worried. We'll find her again. She ain't going far. So tell somebody to kill her.
Yeah, that'd be the. Or if she dies of old age, that'd be the shit.
She could be getting to the point of dying of old age. As much of a drake as she looks like, Jesus.
No shit, you won't recognize her next year. She'll be a full plume mounted drake all the way, curls and everything.
Yeah, I'll have to find a picture I took of her the year before. I'd bet a lot of money it's the same bird because it's the same spot every year around the same time. Same, the face markings are close, but she was a little different the year before. She had more hen in her side. She had more brown feathers in her side, and the brown patch on her face wasn't as big. Or it was a little bigger, I'm sorry. And it was kind of above, it was like on the crest, like up between her eyes. So I'll see if I can find an older picture of her and I'll send it to you. But yeah, I've seen her 3 years in a row now, and it's just the chase. It's just what it is, but it's fun. I ain't gonna lie. A lot of fun when you connect.
What time of year do you see her? Like, is it coming up, or is you still got a couple months away?
No. She'll probably, I would say the end of November, first week of December is when I normally see her.
And it's always in that same area.
Same spot. Yep. There's another spot down a little further that I see one similar, but the markings are different. I think that one is a farm duck mutation, personally. I don't think it's anything to write home to mom about. I just think something got into the freaking hen house and made a mess, and now it flies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's just crazy. I need to pay more attention into the fucking flocks that we're scouting.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, you know, like, what changed a lot of it, I know it sounds really dumb, but, I mean, I've literally only been taking pictures maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And since I started taking pictures and, like, getting pretty fascinated with it, I found some pretty neat shit. And then I'm like, oh, man, maybe I should pay attention more. And then I'll go back and I'm like, oh, shit, yep. No kidding. Yeah, it's right there. And then you start watching them and then you're like, okay, well, now how do we hunt them?
Right.
How do we get underneath them and try to find it, you know? And it's fun when you connect, and it's neat when you find them and, you know, try to figure it out and try to get ahead of them and figure out what they're going to do or not do, or who's hunting where to push them here to, you know, how can you intercept them? And then sometimes you get in there to intercept them, and then, you know, we do a lot of stuff where, like when we do our vets, you know, we take our vets when we're looking for these birds too. We'll take guys out when we're hunting, or we'll show them a picture. We're like, hey, if you see this bird, just kill it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are 100% sure you see this bird, I don't care what anybody says, just stand up and shoot the bird. Nobody will be mad. But the rule is, if you miss, you got to buy everybody in the blind breakfast. So they get kind of gun shy and, you know, don't want to buy guys breakfast. But yeah, it's just fun and games. But we tell them, we're like, here you go. This bird is in this area and we're all looking for it. So if you see it, shoot it, you know?
So do you just do your hunt like normal? Like whenever you're happy with the group that's in front of you, you call the shot on them, or do you look through every group to see if that bird is in it, or how does that work?
So it depends. So typically with our veteran groups and stuff like that, and we're pretty conservative. We're more like us. We're more quality over quantity. Like I'd rather take 25 vets a year and know that every hunt we went on, like, we all interacted, we all had a good time, everybody set decoys, and we shot birds, versus taking 300 guys a year, I couldn't tell you a single name, and half my decoys are shot. So a lot of times we'll talk in the morning, like, we do our little safety briefing and spiel, and like, hey, you know, this is the rules. This is what's going on. Most of the time, like, don't get me wrong, these birds that we find are very far and few between. We just happen to see them sometimes. Sometimes we don't. So if we're on a field, if we're just going to shoot little geese, we're going to shoot cacklers or whatnot. I mean, it's just, you know, shoot the birds that come in. When they center up, we do it. Because a lot of the guys that we go with, they're so jacked and they are so pumped and they've got so much adrenaline running through them. I think that if you ask them to sit there while you're landing hundreds of birds to look for something cool, I mean, they're so anxious and they're so pumped to be there. I don't want to take away the thrill of them, like, you know, mm-hmm. being able to shoot a bird just because I'm looking for one that's got a white ring or, you know, whatever. I'll wait. And, you know, those birds, if they go, they go. The whole point is, you know, to make sure these guys have a good time and get out and, they're punching birds and telling stories and enjoying the time. But I mean, if we get birds spinning on a super windy day and they're hung up and we see something cool, you know, I mean, we'll wait until that bird comes around. And a lot of times we'll talk beforehand too, like with some of these guys, and our groups are typically small. We'll be like, hey, you know, this bird's in here. Do you guys want to try to kill this bird, or do you guys want to try to shoot your birds and get out? Like, what's everybody's plans? And usually some guys are like, well, you know, I like let's try to shoot it, but I don't want to miss opportunities. That's us going, okay, well, we're going to shoot the birds when they're centered up. We're not looking for this other bird. We'll find that later. Like, let's just get these guys their birds and let them have a good time. And we'll come do like a two-person, me and a buddy hunt later, you know, and we'll try to shoot it then when we're not, you know, I don't want to hold up those guys, and I want them to have a good time and shoot their birds. So
it just
depends, you know. It's not, I don't want to be selfish because, you know, we hunt a lot, and those guys, that may be the only time they get to go that year. So whatever they want to do, I'm game. If they want to sit there all day and go from light to light and try to shoot a unicorn, we'll go light to light and shoot a unicorn. That's up to them.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, you know. And like you said, you don't want to do something that they're not on board with. You know, a lot of guys. And if it were me, I would just be happy with having a good group of sized birds, do it right and shoot into them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, like the deal, like the Euros, the Euro has been like the hot ticket the last couple of years, is like people, oh, I really want to shoot a Euro. And I'm like, man, I've literally shot one Euro my entire life. Mm-hmm. And it was like, the sun was just right. We caught it just right in a big group of widgeon. They stick out. The red head doesn't stick out. It's the gray body that sticks out. You don't even see the red head. You see the body before you see anything else. So like on overcast days, like, oh, I really want to shoot a Eurasian widgeon. And I want you to shoot one too. I know tons of people that want to shoot them, but I mean, man, if you can pick it out, like, more power to you. If you see it, I mean, you know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You see it, you can shoot it. You miss, we're going to breakfast. You know, so they're like, oh, well, oh, maybe. You know, but it's fun. It gives them a challenge, and, you know, they enjoy it, and they have a good time, and, you know, it's just like anything, you know, joking and ribbing in the blind and telling stories and, you know, getting guys, you know, that would typically hunt by themselves, that maybe they have, you know, maybe they found a new friend to hunt with. You know, a couple, 2 years ago, we were hunting a field, and we had found a whacker, and I think we ended up taking like six guys. And we had, it was three vets and three non-vets. So typically, like, when we hunt, I try to have every vet, there's a person that is like in our close group. So if we have two vets, it'll be me and Joe will go hunt. And we each kind of watch the vet. You know, obviously we want everybody to be safe. We go through safety shit every morning, you know, don't shoot the decoys, don't shoot the dog, don't shoot till we tell you to shoot, the whole deal. You know, so we try to do one-on-one. So a couple years ago, it was pretty neat. We had, we did a six man, and we were shooting little geese and some mallards, and kind of a lull, and some guys started bullshitting in the middle of the blind, and, you know, like, hey, you know, what do you do in the Army? Oh, well, what do you do? And so the conversation went on for about 10 minutes, you know, hit or miss. We had birds working, and, you know, so on and so forth. And then we got down to it, and they're all like, oh yeah, I used to be in that unit. I was in Georgia. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh shit. I was in Kentucky or whatever. And then all of a sudden they start talking. They're all like, oh wait, I was in Iraq in 2009. Oh, really? Oh, shit, me too. And all of a sudden they go and they're all like, oh, wait, you were there too? Oh, I was there too. And then all of a sudden they find out these guys, 10 years later, deployed at the same time to the same base overseas and had no idea. And now they were hunting by themselves before. Now all of a sudden they're like, well, shit, let me get your number. Like, we can go hunt on base, or we can go hunt here. I always need somebody to go with. So now you basically took somebody that had no idea this other person even existed. Now they're on the same base. They deployed the same. So, you know, they've got a bunch of shit in common outside of just being in the military. And now they'll hunt together. So now you got guys that basically you've made a whole nother little hunting group of dudes that just want to get out and have a good time, and they can relate to each other. So that was pretty cool. That's happened a couple times where people didn't even realize that they deployed or were on the base or in the same part of the country or world at the same time. And now they've like turned into hunting buddies, and now they still hunt all together all the time.
Well, and it gives them somebody to talk to, you know, like if they were ever going through something, they have somebody right. else that has gone through similar experiences that they can talk to and have similar interests now. And, you know, just, right. just that, I mean, that's the main thing is just, they don't have to go through whatever right. alone.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's fun, you know, it's fun, but at the end of the day, you know, my main goal when this program started, my dad was in the service a long time ago. My brother served, I served, and I've got a bunch of friends that served, you know. Our goal with this was like, I mean, like Payne. Okay, so Payne lives in Texas. If he was into hunting and he came up here, he doesn't have shit.
Yeah.
No gun, no decoys, no knowledge of the area, no nothing. Well, does he give up hunting for 4 years? He's at the base and be like, well, I guess I'm not hunting up here. I guess I'm not hunting until I go back to Texas. Or does he start all over and go out and like try to do the shit by himself or whatnot? So this just gives them a segue to be able to get out. I mean, I've lived here for 25 years and I know the area, I would say fairly well. I can get around where I need to go and I've got the ability. I have the gear. So why not? Like, why not do something to help guys and get them out? And then shit, like you said, maybe they are having a tough time or maybe they need to talk to somebody or maybe they just need a break from their old lady. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just want to get out and have a good time. So that's what all this like started off of, is basically people being deployed, not having their shit and just want to hunt. All they want to do is get out. They grew up hunting, whether it be ducks or geese or whitetail or big game or whatever. They just want to get out. They just want the camaraderie. They just want to have a good time. And just forget about shit for a couple hours and go out and stand in the blind and get pissed on in the rain.
I mean, it's very commendable what you do. I mean, and I didn't think about it from the sense of that there's guys up there from all over the country that probably grew up hunting and they don't have the means of doing it anymore. So, you know,
and a lot of places like the Seattle area, that's a big metropolis. It's not as easy as if you're if you're in North Dakota or something where the country's right there. So, hats off to you for what you do. I think it's a great, great, great service you're doing for our veterans, and we appreciate it very much.
Yeah, of course, man. It's fun, and I mean, really, it's just more people hunting. The more people you can get hunting, the longer this shit's going to last, and the more fun you're going to have. And
amen to that.
Know, they bring their kids sometimes. I take my son with us. My son's 8. He goes with us damn near every time, and it's created a monster, you know? So
we need those,
it's perfect.
We need those kids hunting. Well, tell everybody how to look your stuff up on Instagram.
So you can hit us up on Instagram. We're wicked_wings, WINGZ at the end. You can shoot us a message that goes directly to my phone. You can get online. We have a website, wickedwings.org. You can hit us up there. Sometimes that doesn't go through as well. The best way to get a hold of us is hit us up through Instagram. We do the best we can. We'll get people out when we can. And we'll have a good time and, you know, get on some birds is the plan.
I love all your photographs. I love following you on Instagram. You get big geese too, don't you?
Yeah, we get big geese. They're hit or miss sometimes. A lot of our big geese are local birds.
Yeah.
I know you've talked to a couple other guys up here from Washington and like, so most of our big geese are east of the mountains. Like they're over Moses Lake, Sprague Lake, Spokane. They are east of Snoqualmie, east of Ellensburg. They're starting to get more, they shoot mostly big geese and lessers over there. We get mostly little geese, a lot of cacklers, a lot of little, you know, the smaller subspecies of the Canadas up here. And then we get lessers, and then we get very far and few between on those big geese. And to be honest with you, I'd rather shoot little geese more than big geese.
Right.
Just because, for one, they look the same in the picture, and two, they're so much easier to carry out of the field than those big old swamp donkeys.
That is true. Y'all really have it all going on up there, everything. Bigs, yeah, littles, ducks, everything.
Pretty lucky, I tell you what. Yeah. Pretty lucky. Not a lot of places get to experience the diversity up here. It is a lot of fun when it comes to waterfowl.
That's right. Well, you keep fighting the good fight, and if you need anything from us, let us know. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm going to use that picture tomorrow whenever I promote this podcast episode of old brute Caitlyn Jenner.
It's the old Caitlyn Jenner duck. All of our buddies, that's what we know it is. We found Caitlyn Jenner.
And if you shoot that fucker, you tag me in the photograph, please.
Oh, I tell you, it's going to be a quick tag because it's going straight to Seth Lane. So.
Well, yeah. Yeah, good luck to you, and hopefully you get that bad boy or girl, whatever you want to call it, this year.
Have a great, safe season, my friend. Thank you very much.
Hey. Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
The guy takes very good photos, lives in a pretty cool place, and a very interesting podcast.
Yep.
All right. We appreciate everybody listening to us. You got anything else to say?
That's it.
All right. God bless.
Fly.
God bless, and have a great day.
Thank you to all of our sponsors, Gundog Outdoors, Big Honker, you can promo code there, Dirty Duck Coffee, Trump 2020 is a promo code there, Pacific Calls, BHP25, save 25%, Foul Bandit, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters, Dive Bomb Industries, Boss Shot Shells, Lucky Duck, Looking Glass Duck Club, 14 Cattle Company, J2 Outdoors, and William and Chris Wines. Thank you, thank you.
Let's do the 10-minute tip real quick.
Okay.